Hey, all you right side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We are back, Bill Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, right here, Alabama. Love this place. And y'all, I'm talking about this show goes way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right, well, we're going to switch gears here. We're kind of still in home fries, cooking up some news stories of things that happen in and around and amongst us right here in our own backyards. You got to pay attention to what happens around you. And so we just finished talking about things that are happening in the state house, you know, policy matters and what's good for our state in terms of what happens through the legislative processes. Let's switch gears because, you know, this is like SEC football central right here in Alabama. This is the hub. This is the hub of all things sports. Everybody knows if you want to play and go up to the big leagues, you got to start somewhere in and around the state of Alabama. They even have the museum here. I mean, they're headquartered here, for crying out loud. Well, somebody who knows it better than most is our friend Hannah Stevens, known to many of you as the UA sign girl. I think she's already like a regular frequent flyer here on Right Side Radio, and she's on the line right now. Hannah Stevens, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right, Chill. How are you doing today?
I am good. I'm good. But I got to ask you, are you good? Because I'm watching what is happening. I mean, like right now, Sports Illustrated's got a piece that I pulled. 28 players from Alabama have just dived into the portal. What the heck, Hannah? What's going on?
Yeah, so, okay. It's a lot to digest because I think it's, and I was thinking about this morning when I was getting ready, Phil, because, you know, when you look at it, it's very emotional. I mean, I have kind of had to mute certain people on Twitter because I get so sick of seeing so-and-so's entering the portal, so-and-so's entering the portal. But, you know, you have to take in perspective that some of these kids, I mean, let's use Julian Sain as an example, right? At most 18, maybe 19 years old. I think he just turned 18. He's never seen Alabama without Nick Saban. He has never watched a game that Nick Saban hasn't coached, because even these kids that are seniors in college, I mean, they're, you know, junior seniors at Alabama. I mean, they were what, 3, 4, 5 years old when Nick Saban arrived at Alabama. So you have to give in perspective that these kids have never had to deal with a Mike Shula, or they've never had to deal with change within Tuscaloosa. I mean, there may have been offensive and defensive coordinators who have left. That's not new. But this is the first time that most of these kids have ever had to experience Alabama without Nick Saban. So I have had that perspective going into this because, you know, and I'll get into it in a little bit with you about the transfer portal, NIL, and my opinion, all that. But, you know, for us older people, we know what Alabama football is like. We know it's just more than Nick Saban. We know it's more than just one coach, but these kids don't. And so I think when you look at that, that gives a little bit of a perspective on why they may be reacting. But I'll say this. If you're an Alabama fan and you're listening, don't freak out yet, because we have plenty of leaders on both sides of the ball who are vocal about staying. And also, come April, we will get our fair share of transfer portal, you know, people coming to Tuscaloosa, because in April it's fair game. So even though it's hard now, you know, the tide goes out and it comes back in.
All right, so let me ask you. I mean, I'm not as in the weeds on names and position players as, sure, as you are, but I mean, you guys have lost Caleb Downs. You got Isaiah Bond went to Texas. Des Ricks. It looks like you're losing that quarterback you just talked about saying. Julian Sain. So I'm thinking, but when I hear several leave, I go, okay. But when I hear top name players like we're talking about scholarship, you know, their first tier players are leaving, 28 of them all at one time. I mean, isn't there a little bit? I mean, how's the new coach responding to this when he comes in? He's looking to have a team meeting and ain't nobody in the room.
Absolutely, and I think part of the problem is that some of these players are and I'll just be bold and say it, unwilling to give Kalen DeBoer a chance. Now, there are four leaders I want to mention before I kind of dive deep into some of the players and why they're leaving. But you have four guys who I feel like are going to be the core four for this team. You're looking at Jalen Milroe, Deontay Lawson, Malachi Moore, and Tyler Booker. Those four guys have been the most vocal about, especially Tyler Booker. He has been extremely vocal on Kalen DeBoer, his, you know, outlook on life, his outlook on his team, how we have to be a family, have to be unified. And those guys have bought in. Now, they have helped keep some of the guys like maybe Devontae Smith. I'm hearing, you know, Odom is wishy-washy. But I will say this, just because they put their name in the portal doesn't mean they're leaving. Now, I will say that you look at a guy like Isaiah Bond, that was already in works before the Rose Bowl. If you, you know, a lot of people don't realize that, but I have had numerous conversations with people, even within the program, that say that Isaiah Bond was already 1 foot out of the door before they even headed to California.
Even though so he caught the infamous pass against Auburn in the end zone. I mean, that just ticked me off.
Yeah, that's why big catches bring big money. And when you look at a program like Texas, I mean, it's all money. And I will say that I don't think personally that in and of itself, the NIL and transfer portal has ruined college football. What has ruined college football is the lack of foresight, the lack of boundaries and rules that we have not instilled in the NIL and transfer portal.
Yes.
You know, because originally, if you'll remember years ago, the transfer portal was only few and far between, and there were players that only transferred because their mom or dad got sick or they were homesick or, you know, those were legitimate reasons that maybe, you know, like a player's mom got cancer or, you know, their player's dad's not doing well and they want to be close to home. That's completely understandable. But what you have now is I would call this the G League of college football, right?
Oh, yeah.
You have a free agency of – now Isaiah Bond, you know he got a Lamborghini, is getting paid literally millions of dollars to go to Texas to play college football. And it's no longer about loyalty. And, you know, one of my favorite clips of all time, Julio Jones is in there with Nick Saban. It was that barbershop talk they used to do, and they would have clips. And he talked about how you couldn't have paid him to leave because he wanted the hard work. He wanted
to prove
he was the best. And, you know, you look at a team a couple of years ago to Alabama, you had Mark Ingram, you had Trey Anderson, you had Eddie Lacy all in the backfield. And they all, at one point or the other, were in the NFL and doing well and being successful. But they had to wait their time. Nowadays, you have players that are more concerned with making more money now than they are making a name for themselves. And the reality is, Phil, Go ahead.
I would say you also have them more concerned about making money and making their own image as opposed to being a part of a team.
Exactly.
I think they're losing sight of the brand that people used to be willing to ride for the brand and be a part of a team. And like the back in the days, and I did a thing on this a few days, I guess it's last week, back in the day when Peyton Manning decided not to leave Tennessee and go pro and come back and try and take him to number one in the nation. And I look back and I think that's gone. I don't think we have that anymore.
No, absolutely. And I think, you know, you're seeing – and I'll say this about Kalen DeBoer. He won the Stallings Coach of the Year. I mean, that is for on-field performance, but also charitable donations and also community service. So Kalen DeBoer put together a team that, I will remind everyone, made it to the national championship game with several injured and sick players with no five-stars and very few five-stars and four-stars on his squad. So – he is going to have more talent at Alabama than he did at Washington. And I think it's just going to take some time. But I just think that, you know, and I said this years ago when I was still doing ESPN radio, Phil. I said this on air. I said the NIL and the transfer portal is going to open a can of worms up.
Yep.
And if the NCAA has not done their due diligence to put boundaries in place, you are going to see college football ruined. And I think that's what we're seeing. And I think you're going to start seeing some old school coaches like Nick Saban who are like, you know what? I love coaching. And I honestly believe this. If the transfer portal NIL were not in existence, Nick Saban would not have retired until he was 76, 77.
Huh.
Because it was old school football.
Well, I think there's a lot of folks, and maybe I'm an old guy, there's a lot of folks that miss that. We miss the idea of the team being so important that you're willing to get in there and stay in that foxhole and do what you got to do. Hey, listen, we're going to take a break pretty soon, but before we do that, are you able to hang on during the break? Because after the break, I want to talk to you about something totally different. All right, well, let me ask you this before we go to the break, though. You and I think it may have been just having an off-air conversation, but maybe it was on the air, but I said something about, you know, who knows? DeBoer might even come in and pull people who are not SEC per se, but they're within the sort of the community. And dadgum, if he didn't take a former head coach from South Alabama. And then just yesterday, I'm seeing where Major Applewhite is now the new head coach at South Alabama. So that's to me, that's interesting. I just find that kind of – so your thoughts on that real quick?
Yes, I think that's a great pick. I mean, I think if you look strategically at what Kalen DeBoer is doing, he's not only picking guys who are Alabama guys. He's picking guys that have had experience in other programs in the SEC for recruiting, but also relationships. And, you know, when you look at Robinson leaving Alabama to go to Georgia, Kalen DeBoer offered him the defensive coordinator job. He said, no, that's fine. Let him go. Because, you know, Kane Womack is a guy who – put together a better offense statistically than Alabama put on the field last year, and he did it with very few any star players. So I am excited to see what Kane Womack's able to do at Alabama, and honestly, Major Applewhite is a perfect fit to replace him at South Alabama. I'm excited to see what their program can do too.
Well, I have this little piece of legacy. Like I was not a great athlete. I was athletic without being a great athlete, but I was on a club team at South Alabama trying to prove to the college that it was a worthwhile venture to bring football. And basically we did it for 2 years. I still have scars, and then nothing happened for another decade, maybe 20 years, but they got a great program now. Hey, listen, Hannah, we're going to take a break. I want to come back from this break, though, and I want to get your perspective on the two NFL coaches talking about racism. Do they see race? Do they not see race? I want to get your thoughts on that, all right? All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. And I mean like making common sense like a superpower. Hey, we're going back to the phones right now with former ESPN commentator and known to the world as the UA sign girl, Hannah Stevens. Hey, Hannah, so let me ask you this. So on the NFL side of football, it's like the revolving door time. Lots of, I think we have like seven empty coaching slots right now, or at least they're being filled. So Coach Jared Mayo, the brand spanking new coach for the Patriots, a black guy, replaced Bill Belichick. He's asked about race, believe it or not, in a press conference, and he comes out and says, I do see race. And he basically said, you know, he talked racism and why he's going to go ahead and look at people's races. And then there's a lot of flashback about a press conference that Coach Todd Bowles, who's also black, did from the Buccaneers. He slammed the media for asking him about race and said, if y'all would quit asking about it, everybody quit talking about it. Your thoughts on all this racism and sports stuff?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's kind of mind blowing because I feel like we take 10 steps forward and then something makes us take 15 steps back. And I feel like, you know, you're exactly right. Hit the nail on the head. If you don't bring it up, it's not a topic of conversation. And I'll say this, you know, Robert Kraft, who, I mean, some people like him, some people don't, but he obviously has tried to go out of his way to, I would say, make it known that he chose Mayo for a good reason, right? So let me just say this. His quote said, "I want to get the best people I can get. I chose the best head coach for this organization. He happens to be a man of color, but I chose him because I believe he's best to do the job." Okay? So Jared, obviously, like you said, was asked about that. And I feel like he had the opportunity to piggyback off of that comment, because I think that was a truly honest comment. And I'll take you from a female perspective. If I was a female applying for any job, which I am a female, but I'm saying if I am a female applying for a job and there's a bunch of men, but they give it to me, why do I want to be given it? Do I want them to say, oh, it's because I'm a female, I gave it to her because, you know, she beat all the guys fair and square, she's the best, or what? I would want the latter. I don't want to be known as, oh, we gave it to her for a female.
Yeah.
So for me, it's hard for me to see why he wouldn't just affirm that, because for so long, that's all we've heard is, you know, it's more than, you know, it's more than who we are. It's more than us being white or black. It's who's the best, the best. Same with an athlete, right? When you have an opportunity for a player to be drafted, at that point, the GMs and the scouts, they're not all saying, well, he's white or he's black. It's like, who's the best for the position?
Yeah.
Same thing with being a head coach. And I feel like it's just frustrating, because this is why, one reason why, you know, doing sports radio was so hard, because this is the whole Colin Kaepernick, the whole kneeling, the whole racism thing. And it was just beating a dead horse. And so I feel like we've kind of, you know, gone back down a slippery slope on, like, when's enough going to be enough? Why can't Jared have been hired simply because he was the best, you know, choice for them, rather than it being about race? And I think it was a compliment on Robert Kraft's behalf to say, I simply chose the right person who was the best, not anything to do with race. Because if he would have come out, Phil, and said, I chose him because I want our organization to finally have a black head coach, he would have been canceled for that. So it's, you know, it's hit me if you do and hit me if you don't. I mean, there's nothing that can be said that's right. I mean, no matter what the poor man said. So yeah. I think it's just frustrating.
Yeah, and I don't really know much about Mayo. I assume he is a great coach, or he wouldn't be looked at for a program.
Well,
like
he's never
the
had head coaching experience.
Yeah, there's that. I mean,
he's only been with the Patriots. I mean, that's kind of what's mind blowing. It's just like, you know, you're given this opportunity with no coaching experience besides being, you know, an assistant of, you know, with the Patriots. But I mean, you look at, it's not like he's like DeMeco Ryans, right? Houston Texans leading his game to the playoffs, had an incredible game this past weekend. Obviously I'm biased because he's former Alabama player during my Shula era, but he has so much coaching experience. He was without a doubt the best choice for them. I mean, he went from being, you know, an assistant to, you know, a defensive line to like helping with the coordination. I mean, he was a great choice. I just think that, I don't know. It's just frustrating, because, I mean, it's not like,
I think the whole diversity, equity, and inclusion argument goes out the door when you lose on the field.
I agree.
And if we're gonna start saying, oh, good, we hired a black coach or an Asian coach, then at some point that's gonna wear real thin when the fans don't have wins to look at. And you know, there are places in life where they're getting away with that. And you know, we've talked on this show quite a bit about, you know, Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson on the Supreme Court. She was nominated first because she was a black female, secondly because she, and you look at that and go, well, dadgum, there's an asterisk by her name then. She will always know that there were people that she didn't have to compete against, and that reduces basically the credibility of her position. Well,
absolutely.
We got about a minute left, but I'll just say this. I think that we've got to get back to the point that, just like Coach Todd Bowles said for the Buccaneers, if people would stop asking about it all the time, I mean, be conscious, don't allow it to happen, but don't go trying to create the opportunity to have more, you know, racism discussions when there's really not any racism in front of you at the time. That's what's so frustrating.
I agree. I'd assume that the Patriots are choosing the best choice simply on coaching ability, not anything to do with skin color. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what ethnicity you are, you know, what race you are. If you're a good coach, that's why you're being picked. Just like I said, with the NFL draft, they're not looking, Lord willing, they're not looking for someone based on their skin color. They're looking for who is the best person, who is the best player for this position available on all these, you know, with all the college football teams that obviously you're sending them to the NFL, who is the best?
Yep.
They look at the talent. They look at the records. They look at their statistics. They look at how they did at the combine. They're not looking at the color of your skin.
Well, perfectly said, and that's the way it needs to be. Hannah Stevens, we like having you on. We'll have you on again soon, all right?
I appreciate it. Y'all have a blessed weekend.
All right, you too. We'll see you. It's Hannah Stevens, former ESPN commentator, friend to this show, and, oh, by the way, known to the world as the UA Sign Girl. You can follow her on social media, just like the rest of us. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.